This isn't Sunday school. Usually I'm saying good morning in Sunday school. But we're here tonight to pray as we've been doing all of this year. And we should always be praying because the Lord said men ought always to pray and not faint. So we hope today we won't faint in our prayer, that we'll be expressing our prayers to the Lord, and that we'll see answers to the prayer. We've seen some already, haven't we? Seen many things happen. Some things that have happened hadn't all been good, but yet the Lord is working the things for the good of His people. I did an article, some of you may have read it, that are on my email list, and some of you may have seen them back to the back. I put them up back there. Anybody wants them can get them. And this one is called Walking on the Water. I've written that article, well, I actually wrote the beginning of it many, many years ago. Brother McCurry had published it in the Temple Times, he used to do. And I did a couple of revisions and passed them out as tracts. And then I finally did a big revision of it this last time. And something that I didn't see in it, or at least I wasn't thinking about it totally, was one of the things in it that was very important. I didn't emphasize that in the writing. But then when I got to thinking about prayer, what would I preach on or speak on if we're going to talk about prayer? And what I saw in there, I saw the prayer that Peter gave there as he attempted to walk on the water through the direction of our Lord and managed to do it for a few feet. Then he took his eyes off the Lord, started slipping away into the water. I'll tell you more about that as we go along. But this is the shortest prayer in the Bible. And I got to studying out a little bit and trying to see how many prayers we might find of Peter. There's quite a few of Paul that he actually put in some of his writings, but you don't find too many prayers of the Apostle Peter. Now, he prayed, and he admonished others to pray in 1 Peter, 2 Peter, at some other places. But, of course, he didn't write as many epistles as Paul did either. But he stands out in this one prayer. I've often thought that if we're going to be like somebody other than our Lord Jesus Christ, who we strive to be more like Him, and He has to help us to do that. We don't have the ability to be like Christ. We can be Christ-like if He helps us, if He gives us the strength. But the person that we might try to be like if we're going to be like an apostle, a lot of us would say Paul. Paul was the great apostle. Paul was, he said he was as one born out of due time. God called him, of course, to fill the position that was lost with Judas Iscariot. I believe there were only really 12 official apostles all the way. There were others that had duties like an apostle. Now, there's some different. I think Herbert Lockyer in his book says there's more than that. There's others that say that. But I think it was only really 12 apostles. They were originally called disciples of our Lord Jesus. And Peter was a very different kind of disciple. Peter was one who was impetuous, if you know what that means. He was impetuous. He was sometimes very bold, sometimes very outspoken. He'd say things before he thought about them. Well, many things about Peter we might look at and say, I wouldn't want to be like him. Especially when it came time for our Lord to be crucified, and the Lord told him, He said, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. And he did. He didn't agree that that was going to happen, but it did happen just like our Lord said. And we thought we wouldn't want to be like him. And then, of course, we saw what happened later. After our Lord was crucified, resurrected, on the day of Pentecost, Peter became perhaps the greatest preacher of them all because he had the power of the Holy Ghost on him. On the day of Pentecost, he preached a message, and what, 3,000 souls saved that day? A lot of preachers in our day would sure like to see that happen. So the Lord used him. But before that, somewhere along the way, and I don't know exactly the position here, except we know that the Lord had just fed 5,000 people in Galilee. Do you know that feeding of the 5,000 people is the only miracle our Lord performed on earth that was recorded in all four Gospels? A little different variations, but it was recorded in all four. But over in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, we see some things that began to happen after this. And we find that verse 22 says, "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away." That was the multitudes that had been hearing him preach, the multitudes that he'd fed and all that. So he sent the disciples away, and he said when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. It kind of astounding to me that the Lord Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the Messiah, spent much time in prayer. Does that astound you to think that he did that? But he did. And what was he praying for often? Praying for his people. Praying for his church, praying to his heavenly Father that his will would be done. But as he sent the disciples on their way, we see some things happening here. You got to remember now, got to have a little of this water. I'm glad somebody brought it. You got to remember that the ships they used on the Sea of Galilee. Have you ever seen a picture of the Sea of Galilee or a map of it? It's not all that big. But they do have some storms that come through there, coming down through the valleys and passes that are pretty powerful storms, almost like hurricane. It's actually, I think, only at certain points about 5 or 6 miles across, and the length of it's maybe 11 or 12 miles. It's not all that big. I mean, it's not a huge, huge sea. It's actually a lake. They call it Lake Gennesaret, as well as the Sea of Galilee. Well, they were going across in the ship while our Lord was praying. And it says, in the fourth watch of the night, it says that down in verse 25, they saw Jesus walking on the sea. The fourth watch of the night. Now, the Romans divided the night up into four watches. The Jews had done it three watches before. But the Romans came along. The Roman military said from 6 o'clock in the evening until 9 o'clock, that's the first watch. From 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, that's the second watch. 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, that's the third watch. And 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock, again, was the morning, was the fourth watch. Now, don't say exactly what time that Jesus was doing this, but it was somewhere between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning. And they tell us that these men that were trying to go across the Sea of Galilee were in the sea. Verse 24 said, the ship was in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I mean, some of that wind came down through there, and they were having a rough time. And these men were experienced seamen. But you got to remember, they were in a ship. They call it a ship, but it's more like a boat to us. It would only hold about 15 people. We're not talking about the USS Forrestal or the Kitty Hawk or something like that. We're talking about a rather small ship. And it was tossing them about, and they were getting kind of concerned. And then all of a sudden they look out, and they see Jesus walking on the sea. And you know what? They were more scared seeing him than they were of the storm, because they thought at first, it's a spirit, it's a ghost, it's an apparition, it's not really him. That's what they thought. But as he continued to walk on the sea, it says in verse 26, the disciples saw him walking on the sea. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. Okay, now listen to this. Straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I looked into that, and some of the scholars say, and I'm certainly no Greek scholar, but they say that what this is actually saying, if you really get the literal Greek out of the whole thing, he's saying the same thing that he said in John 8:58 when he says, before Abraham was, I am. So he was saying to them, don't be troubled, I am. Don't be troubled, I am. Anytime the Lord can say that to us, that's a comforting thing. Because what he's saying is that he is the Lord of glory. Don't be afraid, don't be troubled. He's God. And he says, don't be afraid. Be of good cheer. That's something that was said quite often. Be of good cheer. Sometimes we Christians have a little trouble being of good cheer. But we need to be always. Okay. Here's the next thing that happened. This is what I saw that really astounded me. How do we get to the shortest prayer in the Bible? Well, here's this. Peter answered him. He was aboard that boat too. 11 other disciples, including Judas Iscariot. This is before, of course, the crucifixion of Christ. And all the disciples are there. Out of all those disciples, can you name the 12 disciples? People can sometimes name the players on a baseball team, a football team, whatever. Sometimes we can even name the books of the Bibles. But it's hard to remember some of those disciples' names. I can remember Andrew and Peter and John and James and Judas, who was his brother James, and also Judas Iscariot. But what about Bartholomew? Labius, Thaddeus, that's a different name for one of the others. And you always try to figure out, well, what is that? And that's the same guy as the other Judas, I think. Sometimes it gets a little confusing. But you got to remember, they were all there. Every one of the disciples were on that boat. I'm calling it a boat because it was small. They were on there, and only Peter, impetuous Peter, you might say, he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. Now, some of the writers, J.C. Ryle, the ones I looked at, they said, he wasn't really being impetuous here. He had the faith to believe that the Lord would help him to walk out there where he was. He wanted to be with Jesus. He wanted to be with him. So he said, Lord, let me come out there where you are. And what did Jesus say? He said, come. One word, come. Well, that was enough for the faith that Peter had at that moment to help him. Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Wait a minute. How many people do you know that have walked on water? How many people do you know? Do you know anybody? We know Jesus did. We don't doubt that. But here, as far as we know, is the only other person ever to walk on water. Now, we know it's the only other person in the Bible to ever walk on water. Simon Peter. You think he didn't have a bit of faith? You think, well, what's wrong with those other disciples? They didn't do that. He did. He had faith, so somebody said, to get out of the boat and walk out there. That's more faith than I would have. Maybe more faith than you would have. But he did. He got out there and walked toward the Lord. He was able to do that because the Lord gave him the strength and power to do it. But something happened to him that happens to all of us sometimes. And that is, he took his eyes off of the Lord Jesus. And he began to look at the storm. The wind, it says, was boisterous. That is, it was in fury. It was going wild. And he got concerned. And he saw that he was going to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Shortest prayer in the Bible. Lord, save me. You say, well, that doesn't count as a prayer. Oh, it does too. Because he was praying to the one you're supposed to pray to. He was praying to God. God in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was praying, seeking him because he knew he's the only one who could help him. Now, he wasn't praying here for salvation of his soul. He'd already been instructed that way. I believe the Lord was working. Of course, the Lord had to go to the Calvary to save him as well as anybody on either side of the cross. But he was already in the fold. He was talking about his physical salvation. He thought that water was fixing to swallow him up in those waves and that wind were going to destroy him. So he cried out, Lord, save me. Do you know whatever your problem in life and whatever's going on in your life, I know this. If you call out to the Lord Jesus Christ and you can say, Lord, save me, the Lord can do so and will do so. He cares about his own. You know how I know he cares about him? He was right there. Now, he's not far away now. We think maybe he is sometime. Well, we don't see him, of course, like Peter did. He was in the physical body back there. And he says, Lord, save me. What happened? And I don't know exactly, you know, you could look at the Greek on this, you could look at anything else. I don't know how else you could say it. I looked at several translations just to see what they say, and every one of them just about said, and immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, he didn't say to him, you don't have any faith at all. He didn't say that. He said, you've got a little faith. And he rebuked him in a way for that, but it wasn't like a strong rebuke. But he said to him, you just got a little faith. Why did you doubt? In other words, you were doing just fine walking on the water, which nobody else has ever done but Christ. And you took your eyes off him, saw the wind and the waves, and always wondered what it'd be like to be in a hurricane. We were in one several years ago. It hit up here, you know, more than we'd ever seen before up here. My dad told me he was in one a long time ago, and he was driving a government truck. He worked for the Federal Aviation Agency, and he didn't get away from the shore as fast as he thought. He was down near Miami. He said the wind came along and actually picked up that truck and rocked it. He thought he was a goner, but he managed to get away and find a place of shelter. But he had the truck loaded down with paint. There were a couple thousand pounds, I think, in that truck of paint. But that wind just about got him. He said, you know what? That was the scariest thing I believe I ever faced. And Dad also was a veteran seaman. He was in the Navy. He knew what it was like to be in storms. And when the wind comes like that and the waves and the water, it would be scary. I mean, it would make you think, I'm fixing to go meet my Maker right here. When he was right there with his Maker, you see. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand. How would you like to touch the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ? You can do that spiritually, you know. You can't physically touch him now. One day, hopefully, we'll be able to touch him. I believe we will. We'll be in his presence, that's for sure. And he reached out his hand and he says, O thou of little faith, why dost thou doubt? Well, what happened after that? There's a lot of things I could say. Matter of fact, I'm writing an article about it. I just found so much more than what I wrote in the first article. I got a lot of things, and I'm not going to try to read the article to you. I've got part of it already done. Worked on that. I was working feverishly to get it done. But I decided, well, it wouldn't be good to try to read an article because that's usually kind of boring to people. They go, go to sleep, you know. So, but what he says here, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He was human. He was a failing human. And he took his eyes off the Lord. Do we ever do that? Of course we do. But the Lord forgives and the Lord strengthens. And never in history we had a time where we need him more than we need him now. We're in a situation that's desperate in America. You just don't know really how desperate. Some of the things I've been reading about are absolutely scary, like that wind, like those waves that are about to engulf us here. Now, God could live without America, could we? I hope we don't have to find out. God gave us a great land of liberty, but he didn't have to let us keep it. But it isn't just America either. I mean, we've got worldwide problems. All I want you to see tonight is, whatever the problem is, take your eyes off of the problems. You need to know what they are, but don't dwell on them. Look to Jesus. Like it says in Hebrews, I don't know who wrote that, probably the Apostle Paul. But he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's how I know that Peter had faith when he walked out there. Because the Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. And we see here, they came to the boat, the ship. It says the ship. I'm going to stay with the word ship. That's what the Bible says. Small ship for us, but especially if you've been in the Navy, you've seen some mighty big ships. And, you know, we have modern ships today. It would look like a little boat on Lake Altoona to us, maybe. I saw a picture of it in a study resource that I got. It looked rather small, but sturdy. Looked kind of like a Viking ship in a way to me. But you know, they came to the ship. You know what happened? The wind ceased. Remember back in Matthew 4, there was another incident about the wind. And the disciples were getting worried. The ship was rocking. It looked like they would learn from that. The ship was a rocking and a rolling. It was about to go down. And the Lord Jesus is laying there asleep. And they went and they woke him and said, "Lord, we're going to perish." He rebuked them there too and told them, "You need to have some faith." And what was happening was, it was a scary time with the wind and the waves. But the Lord rebuked the wind and the waves. And they ceased. And what they said after that, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Our Lord Jesus Christ is in control of the wind and the sea. He's in control of the sunshine and the moon and the stars and every element. He made it and he controls it. So he asked me, am I worried about what's going to happen? Sometimes humanly I get a little worried like everybody else. But I pray God will give me strength not to worry, because I know who's in control. He is in control of all things. When they got in the ship, it says the wind ceased. He didn't even have to tell it to this time. Not outwardly anyway. And then they were in the ship, came and worshipped him, saying, and this was a revelation to them, don't underestimate this. Later, you know, we saw in Matthew also where Peter says, when the Lord says, "Who do men say that I am?" He says, "Some say you're, you know, a prophet. Some say you're this and that." He said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," he said. And here, they said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." He is the Son of God. And he has made that real to me. I hope he has to you. He is like no other that's ever lived on this earth. He is the Savior, but not only the Savior, he's the Lord. Some people want to make him only Savior. They come to him and say, "I want him to save me." That's what, of course, Peter was saying, but talking about a different thing. But he said, "Lord, save me." He wanted to save his body. Some want to make Christ their Savior, but don't want him as Lord. But it's too bad. He is the Lord. And if you don't come to him as the Lord, you won't be saved. He's Lord of all. And I don't know where it was, Ravenhill or who, somebody originally said it, I don't know, way back there, but says, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. He is the Lord. One more thing I want to point out. He says, when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. The men of that place had knowledge of him. They sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased and besought him that might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touch were made perfectly whole. So our Lord was not only a Savior, he was also a healer. He was everything that we need. We can feed on him because he is God. He is our Lord. Something I would like to do before we pray, at the end of that, like I said, I'm trying to keep this short like we usually do on Wednesday nights. I don't want to go into all this writing. Oh, it's a good writing here, I think. I don't know. I hope you'll like it. I'll put it out in a week or so and hope you'll enjoy it. But I did see something Matthew Henry said was so good. I want to quote a couple pieces of it. He said, the concern Christ has for his disciples in distress. And he's quoting really on John 6:20, which is another parallel account of the same thing. He said, he drew nigh to the ship, for therefore he walked upon the water as he rides upon the heavens, for the help of his people. He quotes Deuteronomy 33:26. He will not leave them comfortless when they seem to be tossed with tempest and not comforted, when they are banished as John into remote places, or shut up as Paul and Silas in close places. He will find access to them and will be nigh them. The relief Christ gives to his disciples in their fears. They were afraid, more afraid of an apparition, so they supposed him to be, than of the winds and waves. It is more terrible to wrestle with the rulers of the darkness of this world than with a tempestuous sea. When they thought a demon haunted them and perhaps were instrumental to raise the storm, they were more terrified than they had been when they saw nothing. But that was natural. He said, our real distresses are often much increased by imaginary ones the creatures of our own fancy. Now, when the Lord says, fear not, it is I, or I am. You know, He said the same thing when they were coming to carry Him away. And they were asking, who are you? And He said, are you Jesus? He says, I am. And they fell backwards. That was the power of His Word. Our Lord Jesus Christ is everything we need. We want to keep our eyes focused on Him above all. But what about this prayer that Peter prayed? He didn't have many prayers, but that was a good one, wasn't it? And that was one we saw answered immediately. Our Lord saved him from the deep. Thought an appropriate song to sing. And I'll ask Mark to lead it for me, and then we'll have prayer. It's number 272, I think. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Can we sing that?